By now, you've seen the many ubiquitous television ads for the DVD of Casablanca. This DVD does not have a longer version of this classic film, which is set in World War II Casablanca, as some might suppose. What it does have, however, as supplementos, are outtakes as well as scenes which were deleted from the film. The sound for the deleted scenes has not survived, so subtitles are needed to inform the viewers as to what the actors were saying. In addition to the outtakes and scenes, there are outstanding film commentary tracks by critic Roger Ebert and film historian Rudy Belmer, as well as documentaries and reminiscences of Bogart by Lauren Bacall and by Bogart's children. A cartoon and a radio production based on the film, as well as original music scoring sessions, round out the extras. But the best reason to get this DVD is the outstanding film transfer. In a word, Casablanca now looks and sounds even better than the restored version that came out on DVD a couple years back.
House of Wax was one of the most famous 3D films ever, and even though this eagerly awaited DVD disappointingly does not present the movie in 3D, it remains a well-told story which, except for one obvious scene, doesn't rely on the 3D process at all. Vincent Price is a talented sculptor and owner of a wax museum. After disappearing in a fire, he rebuilds his life's work, but this time the figures seem almost too real. Might the rash of missing corpses have anything to do with it? Price has obvious wicked fun with the role, and the transfer is sharp and colorful. The disc also contains newsreel footage from the film's 1953 premiere and a sweet bonus, Mystery of the Wax Museum, the complete 1933 film that inspired the remake. House of Wax is one of those movies that belongs in every collection, a tight 88 minutes of good, spooky fun. Now, please, let's get it in 3D.
A trio of Peter Bogdanovich films have recently been issued on DVD. The first film, Targets, about a young psychotic who goes on a rampant killing spree, is the first film Bogdanovich directed. Targets features a plot literally designed around the availability of Boris Karloff in one of his last film roles. Karloff owed a couple days shooting time to the film's producer, so the story of a killer was interspersed with Karloff's scenes. The film violence in Targets is shocking even today. Bogdanovich provides an excellent introduction to the film, and the genesis of the Bogdanovich filmmaking style is evident throughout the production. The second film, Paper Moon, finds Bogdanovich at the height of his powers, coming off the heels of his critically acclaimed The Last Picture Show. In Paper Moon, Ryan O'Neill and real-life daughter Tatum O'Neill star as smooth-talking con people in a story set in Depression-era Kansas. 9-year-old Tatum won an Oscar for her performance, and the film is shot in the rare deep focus technique in pristine black and white, achieved through the use of filters recommended by no less than Orson Welles. Directorially, Paper Moon features a bravura Kubrick-influenced style, but it is also pure Bogdanovich. With a splendid film commentary and excellent documentaries as supplementos, Paper Moon is well worth checking out. The third Bogdanovich film is Daisy Miller, a period film based on the novella by Henry James. Controversial when it was released due to the casting of Bogdanovich's real-life girlfriend, Sybil Shepherd, Daisy Miller nonetheless features filmmaking integrity and simply splendid production values. With a commentary track by Bogdanovich and a documentary featurette on the production, one can experience Daisy Miller anew and make up one's own mind regarding this work from a quality director. And it must be said that the commentary tracks by film historian, director Peter Bogdanovich on all three films are absolutely stellar.
In 1973, movie trailers asked the question, "What is Soylent Green?" By now, of course, the answer is a part of pop culture, but I will not spoil it for those still in the dark. The answer comes at the end of the film, but the story, set in an overpopulated future where real food is as precious as gold, is compelling and filled with plenty of fascinating and chilling concepts on the way to its conclusion. Charlton Heston grimaces and swaggers as a detective who stumbles on a terrible secret, as his close friend Edward G. Robinson elevates the film in an understated, masterful performance. The long-awaited DVD's Panavision transfer looks so good it's like watching the movie for the first time. The disc contains some very cool, if overly red, footage of the production and celebration of Robinson's 100th or 101st film, which turned out to be his last. It also has a commentary by director Richard Fleischer. Even if you know its secret, Soylent Green is a DVD to add to your library.
Speaking of science fiction, Steven Soderbergh's science fiction opus, Solaris, did not fare well when it was released in theaters in December of 2002. It did not fare well commercially, but it was critically acclaimed. Based upon the 1970s Russian science fiction film of the same name, the plot considers the experiences of the inhabitants of a space station orbiting a mysterious planet. Strange phenomena, indeed, is going on which terrifies the crew members. Intelligent, metaphysical, and provocative, Solaris makes for intriguing science fiction. With absolutely gorgeous cinematography reminiscent of Kubrick's 2001, as well as a similarly evocative musical score, Solaris is worth checking out on DVD.
Who goes there? That's one of the questions Arctic researchers asked when they discovered a frozen alien being in a crash-landed UFO in Joseph Campbell's short story of the same name. The first film adaptation of that story, 1951's The Thing from Another World, gives us a creature that looks a lot more like a man than the shape-shifting, indescribable being, but manages to be scary and quite involving nonetheless. The black-and-white photography is sharp and clear, the direction quite economical. Modern filmmakers really should take cues from these older movies, and fully evokes the feeling of Arctic cold and isolation. With the exception of some inexplicable splices, the print looks great and makes watching the film late at night, as we did, all the more of a treat. It is a simple story, but the interaction between the researchers, led by Kenneth Tobey, keeps things interesting. And its eerie Dmitry Tiomkin score helps make The Thing from Another World truly a sci-fi classic.